Pastors Larry and Tiz Huck welcome you to another Larry Huck Ministries podcast. We pray this teaching will fill you with God's wisdom, anointing, and revelation knowledge. Thank you for your prayers and faithful support.
Take your neighbor's hands. Let's call upon God. Father, we ask you to touch us today. Father, we ask you to touch us first spiritually. Let our hearts and lives grow in love with you and in love with each other, with the human race around the world. Father, let us be touched by you physically. Father, let there be healing take place. Let there be jobs released, finances, bills taken care of. And Father, we know that you are exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ever ask or think. For all that you've done and all that you are doing in our lives, we give you all the praise and all the glory. And all God's people shouted, amen. Amen. Stay standing just a moment. I'd like to introduce a friend of ours from Israel, from Karin Hazolt. Would you give Sam Grunberg a great big God bless? Welcome up. And Scotty, come on up. Have a seat here. Most of you know that we do many projects in Israel. Go ahead and take a seat. We do many projects in Israel, but one of the most important, we've built 18 bomb shelters for a Ahava school for children because they're so close to 250,000 rockets that are stored up waiting, aiming at Israel. Scott and I will be over there in December. We'll be teaching with government leaders from around the world, and we'll also be talking to a Holocaust home, a wonderful, wonderful facility in Haifa. And Lord willing, we're going to take on that project to feed. How many are we feeding there?
Well, there's 300 in the facility, and then
1,200
thousands of them around the northern
part. Thousands of them around that area, and so we're going to be taking that on and making sure that those people don't have to ever worry about having a meal. But one of the things that we really, really love to do is the Aliyah Project, and so I'd like to show you this, and then we'll introduce Sam. Amen.
Larry Huck Ministries has a long-standing history of supporting the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. In recent years, through Project Aliyah, we have undertaken an effort to help thousands of Jews return from around the world to Israel, their ancient homeland. 2019 has been an exceptional year. In July, a plane coming from France that was fully sponsored by Larry Huck Ministries and New Beginnings Church landed in Israel, where hundreds of Jews welcomed them home in a life-changing show of love and support. With your help, we have sponsored many other immigrants returning from Ethiopia, Ukraine, and other countries. In September, Pastor Larry was invited to Australia on behalf of the Israeli government and Karin Hayosud to speak to over 300 Jewish and Christian business and community leaders, including many pastors, about standing with Israel and discovering their Jewish roots. Together, we are actually fulfilling Bible prophecy and preparing the world for the coming of the Messiah. Because of your amazing generosity, we are on track to fulfill our $1 million pledge that we made for 2019. And we know with your help, we will be able to do all that God asks of us in 2020. We sincerely believe that as you help repair a broken world through Project Aliyah, God Himself will help repair your world.
And from the bottom of our hearts, on behalf of Karin Hayosud and on behalf of the State of Israel, I want to thank you, Pastor Larry and Pastor Tiz, and all of you at New Beginnings Church. And we send our love and we say thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Amen. 2 years ago, we gave to Karin Hazot, and we were supposed to be there when the planes came in for the people that you brought in to make Aliyah, to move, to obey God's word. And many of you know this, but just to share with you, the prophet Isaiah said not only would Israel become a nation, and it did, not only would God bring the Jewish people back to the nation of Israel from the four corners of the earth, the second Exodus, which he did, but he said that Jews would be partnering with Gentiles, and Gentiles will bring the Jewish people back to the nation of Israel in their arms and on their shoulders. And so that's what we've been doing in fulfilling the prophecy of partnering with the nation of Israel. 2 years ago, we were supposed to be there as the planes came in, and baby Lion got sick, so we couldn't go. And now Lion is healthy. And then last year we were supposed to go again, but we couldn't go on the same day that Tiz had her surgery. And now Tiz is doing well. So we're going to go next year for sure. But we would like to present to Sam and the nation of Israel a check here from Tiz and I, from our family, from the New Beginnings family, and from all of our partners literally around the world. We would like to present you with $1 million for this year for the nation of Israel. You did it. You did it. And, you know, I want to say that these people and all of our partners, we don't have anybody that gives a huge amount. Now, we're not against that.
Come on.
If you want to give us a huge amount, toda rabba. But it's hundreds of thousands of people saying to the nation of Israel, we're standing with you, we love you. And you have friends around the world. So to all of you and to all of our partners around the world that make this happen, just think, $1 million last year, and this is just for Aliyah. It's not for all the other projects we're doing in Israel. So you're giving to the nation of Israel right now $1 million. Give yourselves a big hand. Amen.
Let me just set that right in the front there. I'll get pastor. Thank you so much.
You know, I can be honest with you, I feel awkward doing the big check, but they tell me we have to do those kind of things so that the people who give really know that we do what we said we're going to do.
Right.
So that's pretty awesome. Amen.
Right.
So give Sam a great big welcome. Now, I had told you that we're in a series called Biblical Business, and I was going to teach today on public property and people. But I had forgotten, you know, they say memory's the second thing to go. I just can't remember what the first was. And so we will continue with that next week on God wanting to bless us. But Sam, welcome to Dallas.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Wow. What a way to be welcomed here by our friends. I am so excited to be back here, my second time since I came into my position at Keren HaYesod, to be here with you for a morning service. And I'm really thrilled and inspired to be here. I have so many things I want to say. First of all, I'd like to wish Pastor Larry an early happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
I won't be here on Friday, unfortunately, but now I know that I will look for a toy for you in Israel.
That's right.
Now that he shared that with us.
Ancient toy.
I'm going to return the socks that I chose. But I'm going to go to make sure to get you a toy from Israel. And I really want to thank, I think it's not a coincidence that this is right before Thanksgiving and we saw those wonderful messages from those cute children about everything they're thankful for. And I really want to thank you and thank all of you and all of you out there for the support here that you're showing to Israel and the people of Israel. It's something that it does not go... it's not obvious. It's not something that we take for granted. You know, I have the real privilege to have served representing officially the state of Israel. And you can hear from my American accent that I'm American, born and raised. But I had the privilege to be appointed by Prime Minister Netanyahu to serve as Israel's Consul General in Los Angeles to the Southwest United States prior to this. And then currently for Keren HaYesod, I was also appointed by the Prime Minister to serve as its chairman. And we are not just another cause, but as the pastor mentioned, we're one of Israel's national institutions, which has been around for 100 years.
Yeah.
And we're part of the fabric of what created the State of Israel. And we are the official body that helps bring in support from friends like you from around the world and also communities around the world and connecting everyone. And we continue to build the State of Israel. And through you, through this great work and support, you're really fulfilling the prophecy that we read in Isaiah, in Ezekiel, and bringing back from the four corners of the earth the Jews back on Aliyah, and a lot of the other work that we do, also you mentioned, with the bomb shelters and helping the weaker members of society. And it's a privilege for me to be representing not just the State of Israel, but Keren HaYesod in accepting this help and support. And so I want to thank all of you so much. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Amen.
Praise God. You mentioned about, I would be happy to mix in some Bible and Torah since I threw you off. And, you know, I'd like to, it's a little bit personal, but I know that you, Pastor Larry, and your family, but the entire NB Church family has been going through with the struggles and the challenges in the past few months with Pastor Tiz. And first of all, I want you all to know, your family and Pastor Tiz out there and all of you here and the family, that the Keren HaYesod family and your friends in Israel and the Jewish people have been continuously praying for her speedy recovery and her good health. And Pastor Tiz, we love you.
Amen.
And we really wish for you a speedy recovery. You know, I was thinking about it, especially if we've been in touch particularly about how Pastor Tiz has been doing in the last few weeks, the last couple of months. And I was thinking about how, of course, now in our synagogues on a weekly basis, we're reading from the weekly Torah portions of Genesis. And in a couple of weeks, we'll be reading from the portion that deals with the story of the binding of Isaac, Akedat Yitzchak, which we also read on Rosh Hashanah. And I thought, I was reading it in synagogue on Rosh Hashanah just a few weeks ago, and I was thinking about Pastor Tiz, and I was thinking about you, and I'll tell you why. Because I was reading the insight in the story. Of course, we know the story that we just read actually yesterday in synagogue about how Abraham was 99 years old, and then he was told that his wife Sarah was 75 and that she was going to have a child. They didn't have a child, and of course he was incredulous. How could it be that my 75-year-old wife is going to become pregnant? Finally, they have this child, and what does God tell him to do? To take him on top of the mountain and sacrifice him. And so we know the story tells us that it took Abraham 3 days, right? It says it there in Genesis, took him 3 days. And so we're told, not in the text, but in the Midrash, in the oral teachings, that for 3 days, the Satan, or Satan, or the evil inclination, was trying to dissuade Abraham and trick him and tell him not to go through with it. And for 3 days, it didn't work. He went through with it. And of course, we see in the text that when he finally was going through with it and he raised his hand and he had the knife in his hand, what happened? We all know the story, that the angel called out and told him to stop. So the famous question is, well, if for 3 days Satan wasn't able to convince him, how come now when the angel cries out, why did he listen then? So we're told, we remember the story, that out of the corner of his eyes, Abraham, what did he see at that same time? Saw the ram. Very good. He saw the ram struggling in the bush, which, by the way, that's the reason why we blow the shofar.
That's right.
From the ram's horn. But what's the reason? Because we learn a very important lesson from this. And again, this is a long way to tie it into Pastor Tiz, but
it's all right.
But this is really what reminded me of it, is that Abraham understood that truth is connected to struggle. Something that's not true, that's a lie, that's easy. That comes easy and that comes without struggle. But when he saw the ram caught in the bush and struggling, and at that very moment, the angel reached out to him, he understood that that was truth, and that's why he put his hand down. Now, I know that we've, together, and family, and NB Church, going through these struggles and challenges with Pastor Tiz's health challenges. And I truly believe that together, through all of us, our good deeds, there are prayers, and understanding the struggle going through, that because of living a life of truth and being committed to, you were just talking about all the great compassion you do for the children and the orphanage and your support of Israel, all of that together is part of the struggle. And so I just want to bless all of us and bless Pastor Tiz that that will all lead to a speedy recovery.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Amen.
We agree. We agree.
And if I could just add, this is where the Lord revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And just to echo what you're saying, Brother Sam, God is providing healing to Miss Tiz. We love you, Tiz, to Baby Lion, and anyone else that needs a miracle from heaven. Yeah. God is here to provide that healing.
Amen. Amen. In Scott and I will be in Israel December, and then we'll be there in January. In December, we're meeting, it's called the Ambassadors Conference, and there'll be, I think, 42 nations represented there. These are members of government that are across Europe, some Central and South America, that are Christian but are standing with the nation of Israel. I'll be speaking there at that conference. What does it mean, Sam, to you as personally as a Jewish man are to the nation of Israel to see this happening right now with Christians rising up and standing with Israel?
We were talking about that this morning as I came in from the airport, and you know, it's such an inspiration. Yeah, it's also something that I had been involved with previously in previous roles before my current role with Karen Ayesod, and before I served as a diplomat working with that particular conference. It's a gathering, it's a very important gathering of members of parliament, Christian, God-fearing, Israel-supporting members of parliament who have not just, it's faith-based diplomacy. And for me, on a personal level, as a Jew, as an observant Jew, as an Israeli, as part of the Jewish people, it's remarkable to see this awakening of understanding of supporting the Jewish people and supporting the state of Israel and understanding the biblical prophecy. And it's also at a very important time, and it all ties together. We talked about Aliyah, the great work that all of you that we do together with Aliyah. There's a great need, and that's why the support of those members of parliament, those Christian members of parliament across the world are so important, because unfortunately we live at a time right now we see anti-Semitism on the rise.
That's right.
We were talking this morning, you know, last year there were about the number of people that made Aliyah, that immigrated to Israel, was with your help, was about 30,000 people.
Wow.
30,000
wow.
people.
Come on.
And a large number of them, unfortunately, you know, I myself made Aliyah at the age of 17. I grew up in South Florida. I made Aliyah. I served in the military in the IDF in Israel. I had the privilege to do that. But there are many Olim, many immigrants to Israel who are doing so not so much out of choice, but because of circumstance. They're being persecuted. We see the anti-Semitism today in France, in Ukraine, and so in there are other places as well where they're being persecuted. And so the support is so important. Of course, it's based on, as we mentioned, the faith-based diplomacy on our Judeo-Christian values and beliefs going back. But the support today on a political and diplomatic level is so important. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
And I know, Pastor Larry, you probably didn't mention it because you're so humble, so I'm going to call you out. In January, when you come, I'm very pleased that I'm going to be part of this very important event in Jerusalem, January 29th. And you all should take credit
That's
for it,
right.
Because Pastor Larry, of course, is representing all of you. We're going to be honoring Pastor Larry with a Lifetime Achievement Award at...
Man.
Come on.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. It's called the Night to Honor Our Christian Allies, and it's something that my organization, Karen Ayesod, is doing in partnership with the Knesset Christian Allies Caucus, the Knesset, of course, being Israel's parliament, and it's the most prestigious award granted by the Knesset Caucus, government of Israel. Of course, Karen Isoda, as I mentioned, we're not just another cause. We're a national institution, officially working with all of the different organs and bodies of the State of Israel, and we're going to be honoring you, and in doing so, honoring all of you for the work that we do, and we're really looking forward to that. And you deserve a big congratulations.
Yes, amen.
I'm just the eye candy. They do it. They do it. No, I just get to represent everybody. That's all. I read something disturbing the other day that a couple professors at the University of Columbia, when we think of anti-Semitism, we think of Nazi Germany, we think of the pogroms, we think of Spanish Inquisition, Portugal Inquisition, but anti-Semitism is on the rise as never before. When we in America think of anti-Semitism, we think of, well, that's Europe. But I saw an article by a couple of professors in Columbia University that are allowed to teach and publish incredible anti-Semitic statements. I mean, just ludicrous things. I think it was Shmulik. Was it Shmulik that said he was on a tram somewhere in Europe, and they told him, "You better take your kippah off." We know of that grandmother that was murdered and thrown off of her balcony in Paris. We know of, by the way, I haven't told you yet, but Scott and I are probably going to Ukraine in end of February, beginning of March, to not only deal with people that need to make Aliyah from Ukraine, but there's a lot of old Jewish people that cannot make Aliyah. They're too old there. And so we're going to go over there and research taking on a feeding program so that the very elderly can have wood in their stove come when it's 30 below zero, and they can have food, you know,
and medicine.
And, you know, We want to say to them that we celebrate Passover, and may hunger pass over you, may freezing pass over you. We're going to look at doing blankets and all those things. And so we were told a story of a lady over there. She's 88 or 90 years old, lives by herself. She's got a little dome heater that she puts wood in. Because she's so old, she can't bring logs. She has to bring sticks every day. Because she's Jewish, they come and steal her sticks. And it gets to, how cold did they say it gets?
30 below.
30 below. And, you know, I can't understand that kind of hatred. Where is, when you guys, you know, you guys look at, Israel is only 70 years old. And you face life-threatening issues all the time. Jewish people face life-threatening issues all the time. Where does this come from?
So first of all, you don't have to look very far. I can tell you, I myself, just a couple months ago for my work with Karen Isoda and connecting, not only garnering support for Israel, but also connecting the Jewish communities around the world, I was in southern France, and I was also told, I don't know if you could see it because it kind of blends in, but I wear a yarmulke.
Yeah.
It's dark, so it blends in. And I was told, not in a threatening way, more as a friendly warning. And I was also told not to walk around the streets and to take off my yarmulke, which, you know, as a proud Jew who actually grew up in this country, not persecuted, thank God, and then having served proudly in the IDF, grandson of Holocaust survivors.
And by the way, your daughter just went into the military in Israel.
Right.
And
that's
your
right.
son goes
in March.
In March.
Thank you.
So,
thank you. Two out of three.
Great day to announce that on Veterans Day.
Thank you. And so, you know, as somebody who served proudly and grandson of Holocaust survivors, great grandson of Holocaust victims, you know, taking off my yarmulke is not something I wanted to do, but that's right. That's the state of affairs in 2019. You know, where does it come from? You and I were talking earlier privately about Rabbi Israel Meir Lau, who's the previous chief rabbi of Israel and a Holocaust survivor himself, comes from 27 generations of rabbis. Wow. And he himself was the youngest Holocaust survivor to be liberated from the concentration camp of Buchenwald. And every year...
Didn't he go in at 5 years old?
He was in it earlier.
Earlier.
He was in earlier. He was probably in at three. He was five. I think he was five or six when he was liberated. His older brother helped him survive, hit him in a backpack. So, fast forward 75 years or so, Rabbi Lau is now north of 80 years old, and he is one of the most eloquent speakers in general, but also he's kind of the face of Holocaust survivors, of anti-Semitism, and of hate. And I heard him speak earlier this year in Auschwitz at the March of the Living, where, God willing, you'll participate in that very special event. And he was talking about exactly that question, you know, to the idea of trying to understand anti-Semitism and hatred of Jews and where it comes from. And the basic answer is it's something that you can't really rationalize. You know, he gave the example and he said, look at two very different situations right immediately before the Holocaust. You had Jews in Poland that were more isolated, dressed differently, spoke different language, had different names. By the way, these are all the things that we learn are the things that kept the Jews different when they were enslaved in Egypt. And those were the things that allowed them to survive, was that they kept their own unique way of dressing, their names, and all of these different things. So there you have a model of the Jews kind of being isolated, keeping to themselves. And there they were hated for being different.
Right.
Look at Germany, the same time period. Same time period. That's my family. Actually, I've on both sides. One from Germany, one from Poland. You had the exact opposite. You had the enlightened secular Jews who tried everything they could to blend in and integrate. And there we were hated because we were too similar. So I think the answer, the insight there from Rabbi Lau is that anti-Semitism is a terrible thing that really can't be rationalized. But I think also what you're touching on, which is very important, and it relates also to the conference that you're going to participate in December, is that what we're seeing also today is kind of this new anti-Semitism, which is anti-Israel or anti-Zionism.
That's right.
And of course, they try to explain it away and say, no, we have no problem with the Jews. It's just Israel and Zionism. And the reality is, I spoke about this at length with another Israeli diplomat who we grew up together in Miami Beach, Ron Dermer, who's our Israeli ambassador to the United States. He's got a great relationship with President Trump and the administration. And he says when he's asked about this question about this whole boycott movement, you know,
BDS,
it's very important. This is why your engagement in general and on this issue is so important. You asked me earlier about what it means to me about having Christian leaders and communities like this being engaged, not just, of course, the support that you give, but also being engaged on taking a stand on issues like this. And so my friend Ambassador Dermer always says, you know, when he's approached, and sometimes, by the way, it's also academic institutions and certain churches also that get caught up in this boycott and in the BDS, and sometimes out of good intentions. You know, there's a certain feeling of justice and humanitarian justice, and of course we live in an age where nobody wants to get confused by the facts. But especially, you know, we live in an age with these devices and everything's in a tweet and in a 140 character statement. And so the youngsters today don't really know the facts. But when somebody, an institution, wants to boycott Israel and take a stand against Zionism, so, you know, the first thing as... also, as a former diplomat, is to say, okay, you know what? maybe I need to do a better job. You mentioned earlier correctly about Israel's bad PR, and that's something that's not a secret. We need to do a better job of telling our story. So the first instinct when you have a group that wants to boycott Israel is, okay, you know what? Let's see how far down Israel is on their list of other countries, because I'm sure that if they have a problem with Israel because there's a misconception about how we treat others, we must be on a long list of other countries, right? Like Syria, Cuba, Iran,
Venezuela.
North Korea, mm-hmm. Venezuela. And so my friend and colleague, Ambassador Dermoy, he says, that's his first question. I took this approach as well. If I'm happy to sit down with somebody and try to explain it and straighten it out, but my first question is going to be, where is Israel on your list? And if their answer is, it's just a list of one, it's only Israel, that's exposing it for what it is, this BDS, this anti-Israel, anti-Zionism. It's really singling out, it's singling out Israel, it's a double standard, and it's anti-Semitism.
Yeah,
it is.
I had a chance to speak at the UN a few years ago, and right at that same time, just to back what you were saying, the UN passed that Israel was the number one abuser of women in the world. Not Syria, not Lebanon, not where women have to peek through little slits, Iran.
Right.
Yeah, that Israel. And so when would it be fair to say that the new anti-Semitism, it's not in vogue to, although it's becoming more and more acceptable to say I'm an anti-Semitic, the new anti-Semitism is hidden behind the veil of anti-Zionism, anti-Israel. It's interesting, we're talking about BDS, and I know most of you know what BDS is, boycott, divestment, and sanctions, which means we want to boycott, they want to boycott all products that come from the nation of Israel. And it's interesting, we're talking about this because I think it was either Friday night or last night was the anniversary of Kristallnacht.
That's right, yeah. November 9th it was, yeah.
And Kristallnacht was the beginning of, and it was the burning of synagogues, the boycotting of businesses, Jewish businesses. It was really the birthing of the Holocaust.
Absolutely. First of all, it's absolutely a fair statement. And just to show you how real and personal it is, my grandfather and his father, my great-grandfather, on Kristallnacht were, thankfully they weren't murdered. My great-grandfather later was murdered in the Holocaust, but they were rounded up as a result of Kristallnacht, and they were put in Dachau, in one of the camps. And as you said, that later led to what turned into the Holocaust. It's absolutely a fair statement that today, under the veil of pursuit of humanitarian rights and anti-Israel, anti-Zionism, and these boycotts, it's really veiled and in reality, it's anti-Semitism. And that's why it's so important that you're all engaged and that together we stand up and expose it for what it is,
yes,
which
amen.
Is hate and anti-Semitism.
Amen. Rabbi Lau is a... Sam gave me a book that I read. It's a tremendous book, and I recommend anybody reads it. That was Out of the Depth. It was the story of Rabbi Lau, who became the chief rabbi, Ashkenazi rabbi of Israel. And there's an interesting story that he tells in that. We talked about this in the back, and I actually put it in my new book that's being edited right now. And it's a story of Rabbi Lau was speaking at a peace conference in Japan, and they said the man who is the head of all the Buddhists around the world, million something or 100 million or whatever it is, I can't remember, and he said he'd like to meet with you. And so long story short is Rabbi Lau went to meet with this man, and he said, now I can... go to heaven in peace because I'm going to ask you to forgive me. He said, Japan didn't build concentration camps. Japan didn't put Jews on trains. Japan didn't build the ovens. But we did partner with Germany in fighting America so that America couldn't come and save Jews. And so even though we didn't do it, I want to ask you to forgive us. And Rabbi Lau said, I can't forgive you. Number one, I don't have the right to forgive you for something else. But he made a tremendous statement, and I put it in the book, that those who stand by and allow innocent blood to be shed are just as guilty as the ones who shed that blood.
That's right. Yeah,
that's why we need to speak up.
Absolutely. It's a very important message, and it's a message straight out of the Bible. In Hebrew, there's the concept of al ta'amod al dam re'echa, which means exactly that. Don't stand by while your brother's blood is being shed. And that's the message today. It's not only true when it comes to Israel. You mentioned other events around the world. We have a responsibility for all humanity. And being silent is the worst thing that somebody can be. So, again, this is why we're so grateful and so thankful. And I am, as a representative of Keren Hayesod, as a representative of the State of Israel, for all that you do in speaking up and really having the moral clarity. And it takes a lot of courage to stand up, as all of you do here and out there. And Pastor Larry, you representing everybody here at NB Church, speaking out is so important. And I think that Rabbi Lau said it, and it was so true.
You got something?
Well, yeah, you spent a lot of time putting that book together. And I've had the privilege to read it and do some things with it too. But the whole teaching that you've uncovered on the spirit of Amalek and how that has passed down from generation to generation, from the very beginning when Israel comes out of exile, there's Egyptian exile, there's Amalek trying to stop the will of God. And so I think it's worth sharing a little bit about what you've written in the book.
Well, we were talking about this. Amalek, the spirit of Amalek is not a race. It's a spirit. And we think of Amalek and Esau and Ishmael, we think of it being the Arab people, but Hitler had the spirit of Amalek, and the Inquisitions have the spirit of Amalek, the pogroms have the spirit of Amalek. But something that we were talking about in the back is when Israel was coming out of Egypt, Amalek attacked those who were weak. And like we pointed out, everything that God teaches us has the physical and the spiritual, heavenly and the earthly. And so Amalek attacked those who were old. He attacked those who were sick. He attacked those who were in the back of the group. But the other part of that is attacking those who are spiritually weak. And that's why it's so important that the church be making a stand, each and every one of us be making a stand, whether you're young people in school or your parents teaching your children, because the weaker we get spiritually, the stronger Amalek gets in not only attacking Israel, but attacking the church. And I think we've seen that with the case with ISIS. And it's not just the Jewish people that they're attacking. It's the Christian people. You're the little Satan. We're the big Satan. That's right. And I think the church needs to years ago, I don't know if I ever shared this with you, but years ago when we were pastoring in Portland, we had the leaders of the Jewish foundation, the Jewish Federation, call us and said, you know, we knew several senators and congressmen, congresswomen, said, could you get the ones that you know to come together? We'd like to talk to them that are Christian, the ones that are Christian. And so we met, and they said, you may be wondering why we want to talk to you as Christians, but we want to encourage you. Listen, they're coming after you. They want to attack the church. They want to, and we know somebody that is as close to President Trump as you can get. And they said, had President Trump not gotten elected, the church within 6 months would have become a shadow. They want to tax the church. They want to tell what the church can speak and say. And so they said, you got to understand is that they're coming after you. You better stand up and be strong. And this Jewish man said, you wonder why we care? The reason we care is because when they're done with you, they're coming after us. And so we're in this together. Amen? Jews and Gentiles together serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so we cannot be silent. We've got to be strong.
That's why we're going to Israel in December. because we're not just called to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's obviously very, very important. And God says, I will prosper those that do that. How many of you pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Yes. I see that hand, that hand, that. Amen. And God brings a blessing for that. But we also, as a ministry, and this is where we're a family, we're all involved, is that we're doing something charitably to make a difference. That helps to tear down the walls that have divided the church and the synagogue for almost 2,000 years, and suddenly here's a ministry like ours, and there's others, but this is our church, this is our family, and we're standing up for Israel and doing all these good deeds, and it's making a difference. But also, amen, also there's the political side of things. And a lot of times people, well, should we get involved politically? And what will the IRS say? Yeah. And these kind of things. But what will God say if we vote people in that hate Israel? And so we're going right in December with all of these leaders from governments around the world that have government caucuses that are there for the expressed purpose of standing with Israel. And our pastor gets to teach them what it means to stand with Israel and why Christians should embrace and love Israel. It's a very special thing.
Amen.
You know, I think also that besides, we talked about the December trip in January, and we talked about, unfortunately, the rise of anti-Semitism and the need not only to fulfill the biblical prophecy, but the practical need today of Jewish communities that are being persecuted in Aliyah. I know that you mentioned how the last 2 years, God had it that circumstances didn't allow you and Pastor Tiz to be there for the Aliyah when the planes arrive. Well, God willing, in 2020, you should all be healthy.
Yeah. Amen.
And Pastor Tiz should be healthy.
Yes.
And the circumstances will allow, and we will stand together on the tarmac like you saw in the video, and we will receive together,
amen,
which is unbelievable in our times. We'll receive together those Olim and those immigrants coming back home from around the world. And we'll sit here watching that video next year with you there.
We're going to be there.
And it's really unbelievable. You know, I was thinking also, not too long ago we celebrated Sukkot.
Yeah.
And we know that that's also one of the holidays that it's known to be an international a holiday for all nations. And everything that Sukkot represents and symbolizes, and I thought of this also on the national level, and also what I was mentioning earlier in the personal struggles and challenges with Pastor Tiz. You know, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, who was formerly the chief rabbi of England, right? He's Lord Sacks. He was lorded by the Queen. He describes the Sukkot of the holiday of Sukkot as being the holiday of insecurity, where we actually celebrate being vulnerable. We know that, what do? We, for the all of the other weeks of the year, we sit inside of our permanent and secure homes and our very strong and sturdy buildings and houses and apartments. And for 1 week, we go outside and we're exposed to the elements. And it's also known, we know that it's also referred to in the Bible as it's in Hebrew, Zman Simchatenu. It's the period of great joy. So Rabbi Sacks also asked this question, how do we understand and square that at the time when we feel the most uncertain, when we feel the most vulnerable, whether it could be because of personal health issues or on a national level, you talk about Jewish history and being persecuted and anti-Semitism, and if you zoom in and just look at Israel and our region in the world and just everything that's going on around us, rockets in the south, and Iranians trying to entrench themselves in Syria in the north, and we are in that metaphorical sukkah, this booth where we're outside, we're exposed to all of those elements, and in that moment we're actually supposed to be at the highest point in our joy, and the reality is that when you put everything aside and you realize that you relying on your faith and your trust, even though you're feeling most vulnerable, that's when you actually have the true joy.
Amen.
And, that's a good word.
And, Amen. And thank you. And I want to just say that we in the state of Israel are allowed to achieve that state of joy because of the partnership that we have with you and the true solidarity of your standing for Israel and supporting not just the Aliyah, supporting the programs of disadvantaged and weaker members of Israeli society, but also, as you mentioned, standing for Israel politically. It all fits together, and together we'll rely on our trust and our faith.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Would you stand with us all over the building? The Bible says that we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and those who love Israel shall prosper. So let's do that right now. Grab your neighbor's hands and let's pray. Look at me one moment. There's a teaching in the book of Amos that talks about Israel coming back to the land. Amos chapter 9, Israel come back to the land. And they'll begin to grow the vines and the fig trees. That's actually the land where we're partnering in what the world calls the West Bank. It's not the West Bank, it's Israel. And we're partnering, huh?
Judea and Samaria.
Judea
right?
and Samaria, absolutely. And we're actually doing that. I think this year we'll be up to 5,000 olive trees that we've planted there and partnering with claiming that land. But it says that the Jews will never, ever again be removed from the land. And we say amen to that.
Amen.
Father, in the name that is the name of Almighty God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Father, we pray for the peace that's in Jerusalem. Father, we bind the spirit of hatred and we release the shalom of God, the peace of God in that land and around the world. Father, we ask you that you'd give us boldness to stand for what's right, to say what's right, to do what's right. And we claim the word of God that says you will bless those who bless Israel. Father, Tiz and I are just the representatives of hundreds of thousands of people around the world that partner with us to fulfill the word of God. I ask that you bless them. Let them realize what great things they're doing and the difference they're making. You tell us that if we save one life, you see it as if we've saved the whole world. Let that truth be on all of our hearts to continue to do what God calls us to do. And I ask on all of our veterans and all of those serving in the military, I ask that God, you would place in their hearts how appreciative we are and how much we love them. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Give yourselves a big hand. Amazing. Saving lives. God bless you.